What a great morning it has been so far. We've had a bit of everything. Now you're about to get a bit of Ado now. Thanks, Joe. Awesome. Well, I count it a privilege today to be able to preach to a gorilla. Can't say I've done that before. Hey, kids, it is so good to see you guys here today. I am so glad you kids came to church day. I love it when you guys come to church and hang out with you guys because you guys, Josh, you're hearing this, bro, you're a champion. And we think the world of you guys. We think you are fantastic, and there's no better place to be than in church. And we love you guys. Awesome. And it's pretty good to have you guys here also. You guys are great. Wow, I've just got to like... So much has happened. I'm just sort of processing it, trying to bring it back to my message now. You know, in kids' church in the last few months, we've been talking about purpose. That's one of the cliche words that we use in church. We've been talking about purpose, and the phrase we've been trying to get the kids to remember is that God has a plan for me, or God has a purpose for me. We are created by God. In Ephesians 2, chapter 10, it says, we are created by God to do good works. And not only that, he prepared those good works for us in advance, before we were even born. That's pretty cool. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, God's plans for us are filled with hope, and it's filled with a great future. So God has a spectacular, a wonderful, a crazy, an adventurous plan for our lives. He loves us and he created us for something great. And if you guys want to leave with something today, just know that God created you for a purpose. You are fashioned, you are formed, you're created, you're predestined, you're determined by God. He created you before the earth even existed. He loved you so much. He loved you so much and he created you for a great purpose that is good and filled with good works. He loves you so much. You know, for us to live that great purpose, if we're going to live this spectacular life that is just so amazing and so phenomenal, it's going to take us to actually do something. We need to go somewhere. We need to take action in response to us knowing that God has a plan for our lives. So we need to go. Everyone say go.
Go.
Today, I want to talk about the word go. What's the G-O? What's God's G-O for your life? What's the go? If we're going to serve God, then we need to what?
Go.
That's right. Good stuff. You know, there's a difference between gorillas and humans. There's a difference between animals and humans. God created animals, kids, just to survive, you know, just to eat food and survive. But God created humans for something so much bigger than just survival. We're not just here just to survive. God gave us a purpose that goes so much bigger than ourselves. It's not just about providing for our own needs, but it's about building the kingdom of God. God's given us a purpose of influence and leadership, leading people to come to know Jesus. It's not just about surviving. It's not just about being a gorilla. I'm glad you're sitting to the side because it's not as distracting over there. But we're not animals just here to survive. We're here to live out the wonderful plan and purpose that God has for every one of you people here today. God has a purpose, and he wants us to go. So if you're taking notes right, God wants me to go. He wants me to go. Do you know the word go is a powerful word? When someone says the word go, something happens. Something goes from one place to another. Something moves. Something changes. When someone says go, something is about to happen. When my mum used the word go, it often meant I would be making my bed. Go and make your bed, Adrian. Go and clean your room. Go and brush your teeth. Go and say sorry to your brother. Go and get your father's wallet. I need some money. No, he didn't say that one. But when mum said go, something would happen. Normally it'd be like, oh, Mom, please, I don't want to. And then eventually I'd do it. So the word go means something's about to happen. And do you know what? Something really cool? God is saying to all of us here today, go. He wants you to do something. He wants you to do something great. He's got a purpose for you, so it's time to what?
Go!
It's time to go. Oh, you guys are so up with it today. It's great to have you here. Jesus said in the Great Commission, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. When Jesus used the word go, it gave people purpose. It gave people meaning. It gave people direction. And so God is saying to us, go. I love God. Two-thirds of God's name is what? Go. So I've got two thoughts for you guys today. Two simple thoughts that we can remember and that can help us to go. The first one is this. You will never ever know if you never ever go. Who's heard that one before? Now, the first time I heard it, and I'm not sure if this was the first time it was said, when Daryl Summers was doing those ads for Kakadu. Does anybody remember that? Or Uluru? And he'd say, if you never, never go, you'll never, never know. Well, you'll never, never know if you never, never go. So if you don't go, you won't know. You know, we're never going to know the purpose of God, what God's got for us, if we don't go.
Yeah, right. That's right.
You know, I had a friend in TAFE, and he'd actually been to Uluru and what was then called Ayers Rock, and he'd also been to the pyramids in Egypt. Has anybody been? Actually been? Yeah? Wow, that's cool. And this guy, he said, I've been to the pyramids in Egypt, and I've been to Uluru. And let me tell you, the pyramids have nothing on Uluru. Ayers Rock, it is so massive, it just towers over the pyramids. But you know what? We don't really understand that until we go and experience that. I remember Liz, you went, and she just couldn't explain just how big it was. Sure, she got photos, but it just doesn't depict, it just doesn't show us how big it really is. It's massive. It's bigger than these pyramids. And so unless we actually go, we're never going to know.
Yeah.
The other day, or a few weeks ago, I was out on my bike riding in the morning, and I went for my ride to Coaldale and back, but I went up a little hill, and so I go across the top, and this is sort of Ostermere area. Then I come down at Coaldale Railway Station, and I thought to myself, you know what, it's probably not too far to get to the Seacliff Bridge from here. Hands up if you've been to the Seacliff Bridge. Yeah. How nice is it? How awesome is it? I've been on it on a bus, and that was cool. But in the morning, when I went on my bike, it was just phenomenal. There was just hardly any traffic because it was early, and all I could see was this big expanse of ocean. On the other side, I could just see this big cliff, and here I am on this bridge in the middle of that, and it was just amazing. I stopped and just stood there, and there's nowhere else where you can actually look down at the beach, like physically look straight down on the beach. Like there's this bridge right on top of it. It was phenomenal. But I never would have known how good that was unless I went.
Yeah, that's right.
Going to China with church, it was just the best experience. And if you haven't been to China, then your experience is just limited to what we say, to the photos that you see. But if you actually go, then it's something whole, something completely different. It's just so amazing and so worth it. It's just such a great experience. You'll never, never know if you never, ever go.
That's right.
I want to read you a cool, well, it's a bit of a depressing scripture, actually, from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 10. It's a bit sad. This is God speaking to his chosen people, and he chose to use Jeremiah as the prophet to give them his message. You see, the people in that time, they were being wicked and disobedient. They were being evil and not doing what God was telling them. So God's like, well, I'm going to have to punish you for this. And so God said this through Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 10. I will weep and wail for the mountains and take up a lament concerning the wilderness grasslands. They are desolate and untraveled. That's phenomenal. God had prepared something really, really good for his people. And they ended up being desolate and untraveled, uninhabited. No one had been there. They didn't get to experience what God had for them. And I want to say to you guys, you'll never, never know. You'll never, ever know the great things God's got for you unless you go. God has prepared this wonderful land for you. you know, like metaphorically speaking, he's prepared something really good for you. He's got a great job for you, a great purpose for you. He wants you to go places that you haven't been before. He's got an adventure for you guys. But you know what really depresses and devastates God? When he sees that untraveled and desolate land, when we make a decision not to follow God and do our own thing, he prepares such good things for us, and he wants us to experience this. He wants us to experience that. Do you want to hear part of the story when I proposed to Liz? Would you like to hear that? I thought you might have. So it was a Friday morning. The birds were chirping. The sun was out. It was a beautiful morning. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was just right. Anyway, I'd prepared the night before this great breakfast, this really good breakfast. It had everything. You know, I had a big container. I was taking Liz up to the top of Mount Kira. Wasn't her Liz? Yeah. I took her up to the top of Mount Kira, and I wanted to give her the best breakfast that I could do without, you know, having a barbecue or something up there. And so I had a container. I had, like, cereal. I had these croissants, I had yogurt, I had fruit, I had a bit of everything in this big container. I put a bit of effort into preparing all this stuff so that Liz could have this phenomenal breakfast and just be so satisfied and just so content and be like, wow, that was a good breakfast. That was so nice. But do you know what? All she had for breakfast was cereal. I had all this breakfast prepared for Liz, and all she chose was cereal. So in her defense, she did say yes a few minutes later. It kind of balanced out in the end. I prepared all this great stuff, and I was devastated that she didn't eat it all. She didn't get to experience it. I did, and it was good. I got to have a double portion. God's got something great for you guys. He's got something phenomenal. He has prepared something before you even existed. And he's on the edge of his seat waiting for you to step into that and live it and live this amazing purpose and plan that he has for you. And he gets depressed and he gets upset. He weeps and he wails when there's desolate and untraveled land in people's lives. Yeah. Heather spoke about the rich young guy last week. I didn't get to hear it because me and the kids were at the pool having a good time during church. Oh, yeah, that's how it happens. This rich young man, he was looking for purpose. He obeyed the law. He obeyed the commandments. He was doing all the right things, but he just knew there was something else. There was something he was missing. So he did the right thing, and he went to Jesus. Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus just laid it down for him and said, this is exactly what you need to do. Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and come follow me. Do you know what? Well, we all know what. He didn't do it. And so there, God was devastated. He prepared some great things for this rich young man. This guy was obviously pretty good with money, and he could make money. This guy could have funded some pretty amazing stuff in the kingdom of God. He could have helped the church planning. However long it was since, you know, Jesus died and story goes on. But he could have done some great things. All this stuff that God had prepared for him, but that day he just couldn't do it. He said, no, I can't do that. And he turned around, he turned his back to God and walked the other way. When God had prepared some great stuff for him. There is some good stuff for you. God has got some really cool stuff for you. And I pray and I encourage you to go. If you want to know, you got to go. And you'll never ever know if you never ever go. Yeah, thanks, Jess. This story kind of leads me to my next point. See, the rich young guy, he didn't go because he was sort of held back by something. And so my next thought is this. You'll never ever go if you have a bindi stuck in your toe. Think about it. I know some are still processing. You'll never ever go if you have a bindi stuck in your toe. Now, just to help you guys out, I made a bindi at home. Look at this bad boy. I made this at a scale of 1 to 2. If you tread on this, it's going to bite your foot off. This is one heck of a bindi. Has anyone ever trodden on a bindi eye patch? Oh, does it hurt, kids? No, you're tough. That's right. You keep running. You get them into your feet, don't you, Josh? That's right. Bindies hurt. They're painful. I remember playing in the front yard with my friend in Oak Flats, and we all had shoes on except him, and we're on the grass, and he planted his foot in this patch of bindi eyes, and it was game over for him. I tell you, he was in tears. He was in so much pain. These were the biggest bindi eyes I've ever seen anyone tread on before, and there was about five or six of them in the bottom of his foot. It was game over. This guy had, he trodden on a plant, a bunch of bindi eyes, and it was game over. And I want to say to you, you'll never ever go, you'll never ever live the purpose of God that he has for you if you've got bindies stuck in your toe. Yep. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. I really don't need to explain it anymore. If you've got things holding you back in your life, if you've got problems, if you've got issues, you're not going to live to the full potential that God's got for you if you're still hanging on to it, if they're still stuck in you. Let me read you a great scripture from Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. God's got a race for you to run. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. But if you're going to be able to run in that, if you're going to be able to live that, then you need to get rid of the sin that's tangling you up. You need to pull out those bindies that are in your feet so that you can run and run hard and run fast. Amen?
Yeah.
We need to get the bindies out. You know, we all have different bindies in life. We all make mistakes. We all have regrets. We've all been caught in some sort of sin. We've all been hurt. We've all got people that have done something bad to us, and it's hard to forgive them. These are all bindies that stick in our feet and stop us from running the race that God has marked out for us. And it's my prayer, and I want to encourage you to pull out those bindies today.
Yeah.
Pull out those issues. Pull out those things that are tangling you up and stopping you from being free to run the race that God's got for you. Pull them out. Why would you let a bindi stay in your foot? You take it out as soon as you step on it. Somehow, in the world, when issues come up, we just let them. We keep them in there. Sometimes we tread on them, we take them out. Then we go, no, I really like that. And you grab it and you stick it back in the bottom of your foot. It sounds ridiculous, but we all know we do it.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of the bindies in our life. You know, Moses, he couldn't speak well. Remember when God called him to go? He's like, but God, I can't speak well. I'm not eloquent in my speech. And God dealt with him and said, no, look, you need to get rid of this bindi if you're going to do what I'm calling you to do. And he helped him with Aaron, of course. Gideon. God said, go, Gideon. You need to rescue my people from the Midianites. And he's like, but me? You chosen me? But like, our tribe, it's the least of every tribe, let alone me. I'm the least of my family. How could you pick me? Gideon's his bindi was like self-doubt, a low self-esteem. He didn't believe in himself. When if we're going to serve God and do what he's got for us, we need to believe in ourselves. We need to know that if God's got a call for us, then we need to live that and believe that we can do it and have some faith to do it. Abraham and Sarah, they had a good bindi, didn't they? God said to them in their 90s, have a child. Look at the bindi. I can't pull that out. We can't do that. But God was like, no, have a child. And they went and they had a child and that bindi came out, and you know how the story went from there. We all have bindis. Maybe you're in a bindi patch right now and it's so big, you can't even see how big it is. It sort of goes beyond your line of vision. It's so huge, this bindi patch you can't get out of. It seems impossible. How am I going to get out of this bindi patch? It hurts. I can't take it anymore. God just leads me into bindi patches. He leads me into tough times. He doesn't like me. God doesn't lead you into bindi patches so that it's a dead end, so that you're just all worried and hopeless and you can't do anything. He leads you through bindi patches so that you need to trust in him, so that his strength can work in your life and you can get through those bindi patches, yeah? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're more than conquerors through him. That's why when a bindi patch comes up, we start reading those verses and we fill ourselves with faith. And we can get through those bindi patches, yeah? Awesome. You'll never ever go if you've got a bindi stuck in your toe. It's so true. It's so insightful. What is the bindi in your life? You know what the bindis are in your life. And I just challenge you today to deal with those bindis, to pull them out. God has prepared something so phenomenal for you. A life where you will make a difference in your community, in your family. A life where you're going to lead people that need to know God to him. People who are struggling, who are hurting, who need the love of Jesus in their lives. God's got a plan to use you to lead those people to him. But if we've got bindis in our toes, it's just not going to work, is it? It's going to be a bit tough. I want to finish by saying this, and the band can come up if they like. If I'm encouraging you to go, don't stay, just go, G-O, go. That's easy, yeah, cool, I'll go. Where? What do I do? I don't know where to go. Well, it's pretty simple. What are you good at? What stirs your heart? What breaks your heart? What makes you angry? What are the gifts and talents that you have got? Just start by serving the church using that sort of stuff. Just go and use that stuff. Try something. Step out. Maybe God has put a thought into your heart. Maybe he's spoken something to you and you just need to take action and go. I want to encourage you guys to go. Have a go. Live an extraordinary life and not just an ordinary life, yeah? Let's pray. Mighty God, we love you. You are so great and so awesome and so good to us. And we just thank you for your incredible love. I thank you, Lord, that you've created every single one of us here today with a plan and a purpose. And it's a good purpose, God. It's not a horrible one. It's not one that just leads to dead ends or leads us into bindi patches that we can't get out of, God. But it's a great purpose of influence and changing the world around us, God. And I pray that people would be filled with dreams and visions and hopes today and just maybe think of something that they can do to go. Lord, we'll never ever know what you've got for us unless we go. And I pray that people today would go. They'd pull the bindis out, the issues, whatever they are, God, I pray in Jesus' name, and that they would go. Yeah, God, I just lift up everybody and pray that we would be people who are purpose-driven, who don't wander through life going from one thing to the next, but we would be purpose-driven. We have direction in our life. We have a dream in our heart that you have planted, and we're just following that with everything that we are. I pray this in the name of Jesus. God, I pray you would do it. Move in people's hearts today. Move in my heart, God. I don't ever want to stop going, Lord. I want to keep going and serving and building your kingdom, God. Awesome. And just quickly, Lord, I want to give people an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, just raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to know God. I want to begin a relationship with him today. I'm not going to give long, just a few moments. It's just between you and God. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. God, we praise you, Lord. We lift you up. We commit and devote our lives to you, to magnify you and to build your kingdom. I thank you for a great day today, Lord. A super Sunday, Lord. And I pray that we wouldn't leave this behind, but we would go into our workplaces, into our families, filled with the joy of the Lord that we've received today, God. We love you, Lord. And everybody said, amen.